For bonds, you'd rather buy when the rates are higher. 18.64 market price then, as a vis-a-vis maybe 12% currently. It simply means you'll end up paying much more.
If you invested 100,000 shillings in a bond, say in early 2024, so your 100,000 would go for now 120,000. Should I be selling my bond? And I'm happy to introduce the guest for this week, Ms. Christine Gataka. How is it easy for me to find a buyer, mm-hmm. and also get the same average price, which is now around, like we talked about, I would sell the same bond for around 120,000 in this case?
What happens with your stockbrokers and investment banks? There's a division called wealth management in all of the stockbroking firms. You go to your bank and say you probably want to buy a bond, they will refer you to the secondary market brokers.
Yeah.
So really, I believe all Kenyans have a bank account, if not anything else.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be how maybe the ease of access into the market.
Should retail investors be thinking about the destination? Where am I putting my money? And you know, sometimes people always argue, don't be in a rush to just quickly dump something. Where exactly are you taking? Hi, welcome to another episode of Make Money the Podcast, the show we not only tell you, but also show you what's happening to your money and what could happen. And as always, this is guided by conversations with our experts of money. And happy to introduce the topic for this week. We are talking about bonds and what we've seen really happen over the last 1 or 2 years is interest rates on bonds have really come down. And what happens on the other side is that these prices then for the same bonds really come up. And as an example here, if you invested 100,000 shillings in a bond, say in early 2024, you are likely to stand in to make a profit if you were to sell the same bond today. And some of those profits are going as high as 20%. So your 100,000 would go for now 120,000. And we really want to understand the nuances of this secondary market. And what we're asking today then, should I be selling my bond? And I'm happy to introduce the guest for this week, Ms. Christine Gataka. She is the head of fixed income trading at Capital Investment Bank. And welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kefa.
If we talk to the young ones, and I like to call them the kids, they'll always tell you they want to see the receipts. So what I did actually is come up with a bit of a receipt here on what we are talking about.
All right.
And so I'll open this up and put it this way. So your 100,000 shillings as a principal invested in February 2024 when you saw a tax-free bond sale, or what we call an infrastructure bond, would have earned you interest of about 36,921 shillings and some 40 cents.
Yes.
And then for the same bond, it still has about 18,460 shillings and 70 cents to go in interest before you are redeemed at the end of your period. That's February next year.
Yes.
And so the same bond, if you were to sell the same bond today and forget about the 18,460 shillings, you'd sell it for around 120,000.
Yes.
So you'd raise a profit of just over 1,500 shillings. So those are the receipts.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Christine, let's begin. Before we even get to the point of deciding whether we sell our bond or not,
yes,
differentiate for us between the primary market and the secondary market. And
yes,
more so for the primary market, it's easy to look at it as thinking CBK comes around and sell bonds. Most people are very well familiar with that.
Yes.
And what we see is that it's very easy to understand. CBK selling, I go buy.
Yeah.
But most times I'll buy and hold it, and many times you don't have a view on the secondary market.
Yes.
If you would talk to us about the two sides of this market.
Okay.
And how they work.
The difference between the primary market and the secondary market. Number one, as you rightfully mentioned, the primary market is when CBK comes into the market every other month trying to raise debt. Basically, this means you'll just, as a retail investor, you'll just access your Dow CSD account and put in your bids. Mostly it's at non-competitive prices, and submit. So really for the primary market, it's more in terms of even the participants. This is you and your laptop or your maybe mobile phone, and you access directly to the system. As for the secondary market, here now, this reflects, the secondary market reflects now other intermediaries in the market. These are the stock brokers and investment banks, and that's where we come in. So basically, let's say you bought, as you rightfully mentioned, the 8.5-year infrastructure bond was issued by the CBK in February of 2024, right?
Yeah.
But let's say you missed out on an opportunity to buy the bond in February 2024. Let's say even maybe by a month, or maybe you were expecting cash flows maybe 2 months in. In that instance, it would simply mean now you reach out to the brokers, that is us, and look for market pricing. Now that is where the secondary market comes in.
Yes. There's also another aspect I did introduce,
yeah,
where we see interest rates have an inverse relationship with
the yields.
The yields and the interest rates. And if I would demonstrate it, basically it's like a seesaw.
Yeah.
Once your interest rates fall, then your prices are going up.
Yeah.
And once your prices fall, then that means your interest rates are up.
Yeah.
Now, we're in kind of a sweet spot now. It doesn't happen often, especially in this market where you find the bond prices are quite high, presenting an opportunity to make a profit for an investor. Most times it's always the inverse, where you selling a bond would be at a loss.
Yes.
If you'd explain to us the dynamics between and what we are talking about, saying interest rates are low, bond prices are up, how does that relationship work, and why is it important that this is information?
Okay.
Out there for the individual investors.
All right. So I'll go by the same example. The infrastructure bond, the 8.5-year issued in February of 2024. At the time, that bond managed to garner around 18.99% cutoff.
Yeah.
But on average, the coupon is around 18.46,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you can see if you bought the bond at that time, vis-a-vis buying the bond at the current market price, you'll find maybe today's prices are around maybe 12%. So you see, what that simply means is for bonds, you'd rather buy when the rates are higher. Because when you buy when the rates are higher at 18.46, on 100,000 Kenya shillings, you'd have gotten a discount, right?
Yeah.
But when you buy at this time, it's an inverse relationship, basically, as you rightfully said. You'll end up paying such a premium. 18.64 market price then, as a vis-a-vis maybe 12% currently. It simply means you'll end up paying much more of the 100,000. So let's say if you buy now, you may end up buying at around, say, 130,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe if you bought then, you would have probably ended up paying maybe around 80,000. That's just for illustration purpose. It's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why the inverse relationship really matters for bonds.
Let's come to participation of retail and individual investors to the market. Now, most times your clients are institutions. So these are fund managers, these are pension funds and the likes.
Yes.
When it comes to individual, is it that the sophistication then sort of, the sophistication and like you did try make your best attempt at explaining this, but already the sophistication is coming out as quite a difficult market to understand.
Yeah.
Do you feel then that perhaps keep many people out, so that most times I'll buy a bond, I was lucky to buy the same bond in February of 2024.
Yes.
And for me, I likely hold it until it matures and I know some of the payments happen in February next year.
Yes.
As a small investor with small amounts, I'll get paid off then.
Yeah.
And so I've not had much of the intention to sell, again, knowing that you really have to understand the pricing and what really goes on.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's too much of a hassle. I rather just hold it to term.
Yeah.
Do you feel it's the same view for other investors like myself here?
I believe so, to be very sincere. It comes across as very complex, but I believe, I mean, we have, say, social media, for example. If you allocate, even if it's, say, 15 minutes a day, just to keep up, it should not be that, I mean, complex.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it comes, that's a reality. It comes across as a bit complex. But what I'm trying to say is, with proper planning, you're able to keep up. You have the contacts. As you can see, I am here. I'm an investment banker. I work in one of the stock brokers. But yes, it comes across as a bit complex. But what I'm trying to say is it is possible to keep up.
Let's also further look at participation for investors. And I know for the primary market, it's pretty easy.
Yes.
CBK opens a bond. It's looking to raise 20, 30 billion.
Yes.
They'll put out that, I'll see the notice via their channels, or I'll learn the same via Make Money, the podcast, or the Business Daily, or you know, just across where you might learn.
Yeah.
It's easy to go on my phone on the Dow CSD app, which is provided again by CBK, quickly put my bid. You know, they all start from around 50,000, 100,000, so you can always put a bid for what you want. It's very easy to understand. Once you've paid and that's accepted, then you'll get a payment sort of a payment code. You go to your bank, pay that up.
The reference key.
Yeah, the reference key is there.
Yeah.
For now, even mobile, you are able to also pay for some banks via mobile money. So it's hassle free.
Yeah.
Let's turn to the secondary market where now you have to involve the broker. You have to involve finding a buyer for your bond and whatnot.
Yes.
How easy is it for an investor or an individual investor like myself? Again, we are talking of smaller sums here. We are not talking in the millions. You're talking more of 50,000, 100,000, 150,000, 200,000.
Yes.
How is it for me to participate in this market, especially when I get the turnover numbers? We tend to see a lot of transactions over 50 million shillings now. Mm. Not everyone, not many people, less than 1% of Kenyans perhaps can afford the 50 million in transactions within the secondary bond market. When I'm coming with my 100,000 that I invested back then, how is it easy for me to find a first a buyer and also get the same average price, which is now around, like we talked about, I would sell the same bond for around 120,000 in this case?
What happens with your stockbrokers and investment banks? There's a division called wealth management in all of the stockbroking firms. So ideally, that department, their work is to manage retail clients. So that would mean, say you come later, you missed out on the primary auction. They would come up with quotes, like even for the, maybe for the equities, for comparison's sake. A normal lot is around, 100 shares and above.
Yeah.
Anything below 100 is normally defined as an odd lot, right? Now for bonds, the normal lot is around 50 million, as you rightfully said.
Yeah.
So anything below 50 million is regarded to as an odd lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it is easy. We talk to these clients on a daily basis. That is what we do. And we can even the minimum for a bond, on the contrary, for a fixed FXD, it's normally 50,000 Kenya shillings.
Yeah.
For an infrastructure bond like that, 8.5 year, the minimum is 100,000 shillings. So really, I would advise investors just have a good relationship with your stockbroker. If not your stockbroker, even your personal banker. You know, we are all interconnected. We are all, you know, we are all intertwined. So you go to your bank and say you probably want to buy a bond, they will refer you to the secondary market brokers.
Yeah.
So really, I believe all Kenyans have a bank account, if not anything else.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be how maybe the ease of access into the market. Your banker can refer you to the stock brokers. Or if you also know, we all brokers are licensed by the Capital Markets Authority. So it's as easy as going to the website and seeing who are the stockbrokers in Kenya currently, and reaching out to any of us.
For someone who didn't have a broker, you know, I just went to my DAO CSD. It was just me and the CBK interface when I was buying my bond. Now I'm trying to consider, do I make a profit off this bond?
Yeah.
How do I establish that connection now to this infrastructure? Do I pick a random stockbroker? Is there an advisory? Should I go to my bank, which was the paying agent in this case, to get advisory on how I get connected to the secondary market?
Now, you see, that comes to, it's very personal.
Yeah.
You see, like, say, you know Christine, for example. Mm-hmm. I've been around for now 13 years. Mm-hmm. You would, of course, come to me directly.
Yeah.
But if you feel, even the bankers, they understand. And we're here to serve the people. As I mentioned, the wealth management department, you would go to any stockbroker, you would meet a team of experts, and just the same way you go to a bank and you are allocated an RM, a relationship manager, is the same way. Actually, we don't operate very differently from banks. Yeah. So if you're maybe attached to a certain individual and you feel you're probably walking that journey together, you go ahead with them. But of course, the first step, as I mentioned, would either be on the websites or referrals.
Before winding up, there's, you know, a couple of more points here to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, of course, the first one is the destination for your money. It's very tempting to want to sell a bond just because there's an opportunity for profit. Like I made the case, if you are sitting on that bond with, and you know, you had amounts below 50 million, basically yes. you can just earn your interest. The next interest comes in August 2026.
Yeah.
The last comes in February 2026, along yes. with your principal invested.
Yes, yes.
It's very easy to sit and take that. But it's also tempting to want, especially if you have high amounts, say, let's say you have a million in there, you might see it's quite the profit chance there.
Yeah.
Should investors be thinking about the destination for their money? Because sometimes you want to unlock profit, yes, and you want to tell someone, oh, I sold that bond, you know, I had 100,000 in it, sold it for 120,000,
yeah.
and I've made my profit.
Okay.
Should retail investors be thinking about the destination? Where am I putting my money? And, you know, sometimes people always argue, don't be in a rush to just quickly dump something. Where exactly are you taking it? Are you taking it to a higher yielding bond?
Yes.
Are you taking it to a higher yielding opportunity? Did yeah. you see somewhere where maybe you might make a comparatively
yeah.
higher yielding yeah. return to yeah. warrant that switch?
Definitely. You yeah. know, you just can't sell, and, you know, there's something we call reinvestment yeah. risk. Yeah. So I would say in this case, you want to look at, as you said, the destination. What's your motivation of even investing in the first place, right? So that means, are you investing for short-term profit, or are you trying to build long-term wealth, right? That's yeah. the primary goal. When I talk of short-term profit, I mean, you probably saw, maybe you monitor, maybe like stocks, you know, now this is an all-time low, and you just went in, and maybe after certain events, mm-hmm. you want mm-hmm. to cash out.
Yeah.
So I would say the first motivator would be, why are you even investing in the first place? For longer term investors, you find maybe you're trying to build wealth, as I said, which ordinarily would take years, right?
True.
Meaning you're just not trying to just cash out and, you know, make
and disappear,
the
yeah.
exactly. And then another thing to consider also is the risk level, right? By you cashing out, as we said, reinvestment, where are you taking the money? Let me go back to the 8.5-year IFB again
yeah.
for illustration purposes. Let's say you bought the bond at that price, 18.46. You're trying to cash out now at around 12 levels, right?
Yeah.
I would highly recommend, where else? Is it that there are other better yielding asset classes to get into? Mm-hmm. Currently, before mm-hmm. you, as you said, the destination
for your money
is everything.
Where do you want to take your profit?
Exactly.
And where are you taking it?
Exactly. Because right now, you won't get the 18.46, to be very sincere.
For sure. Yeah.
So it might make more sense to hold on until maturity. 8.5 years is not a long time, right?
True.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you need the cash, of course, you'll just have to cash out and probably look into other asset classes. But realistically speaking, as I mentioned, their investment risk is key. Destination, as you mentioned.
Finally, let's talk about the last point here is
yeah.
secondary trading has really taken off in the last few years. And because, of course, we try to explain the relationship between interest rates and where bond prices sit. And, of
yeah.
course, interest rates have been going lower
yeah.
For very much of the last 2 years.
Yes.
And, of course, you've seen the prices go up and, you know, it's brought a lot of opportunities,
mm-hmm.
a lot of turnover in the secondary market, and
that's
we've reported
true.
It here at the Business Day, you know, those records,
yes.
record profits being made,
yes.
and of course,
yes.
record turnover also for
yeah.
the market on
yes.
that side.
Yes. Yes.
Let's look forward, and maybe this is an outlook for the remainder of the year, or maybe going into 2027.
Yeah.
Interest rates have really come down for well since, I would say maybe since August 2024.
Yeah.
We are now very much in April 2026.
Yeah.
So we are approaching almost the 2-year mark of interest rates falling.
Yeah.
Of course, that won't happen forever.
Yes.
As soon as rates turn, do you fear that perhaps this conversation then would return against selling because, again, now you have the other relationship where you had your
yeah.
prices up,
yes.
your interest rates low.
Yes.
Now this happens, right?
Yes, yes.
And, of course, the chance for loss might mean
there.
A lot of people
it's
turning
inevitable.
Away from trading.
It's true.
What would you expect to happen when those interest rates begin turning?
It's not a predicament with retail investors alone, even corporate, the institutional ones. It's something to think about, and it's a reality. So another indicator we normally really monitor is the CBR rate, the central bank rate, of which we know the Monetary Policy Committee sits every 2 months, right? And for the last 2 years, as you rightfully mentioned, the rate has been cut, it's been coming lower up until this month when they decided to retain the rate. that might be the first indicator that actually the rates, we just might be having the turnaround. And we also need to be cognizant of this war, the Iran and the US war. So what happens in this case now, as a retail investor, I would advise, as I said, what happens when turnaround happens? Let's say you wanted to take a position right now for bonds at, say, 12%, right, where they're currently trading at. You would end up highly likely making... Okay, it first depends if you're a trading, if you're trading or you're holding it
through yes. its life. Yeah.
Yes. So if you're buying to trade, this would not be a good time to get in. Why? Because with a turnaround means the rates will keep going higher and higher. So rates going higher means, yes, you're losing money. That's how we mentioned the inverse relationship. So really, if maybe you were buying for trading purposes, this is the time to sell. Right? If you're not buying to the life, to the end of the bond, this is the time to sell. But if you want to take a position right now to enter, I don't think this is it. There are other asset classes that maybe one would be more, would have more, you know, in terms of returns.
Thanks a lot for being on the podcast for the week. And we hope, we look forward to further conversations down the line on trading and understanding more of the secondary market on bonds on the bond side.
Thank you.
That has been Ms. Christine Kataka. She's the head of fixed income trading at Capital Investment Bank. And that has been another episode of Make Money the Podcast. And as always, until I catch you on the next one, remember to make your money work for you. My name is Kefa Muirore. Goodbye.